room at your table for me, 'cause I am the one you love. I am the one you love. I know you're proud of me. Even though I don't deserve it sometimes, no, I'm not a perfect child, but I still make my father smile. I know you're proud of me. You take me just as I am. You choose me all over. I am the one. Come on, say it again. You take me. You take me just as I, and you choose me all over. And you still love me. You know everything, and you still love me. They'll leave over a rumor, but you stay with the truth. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. No.
Good morning, Ascend Church. Come on and do us a favor and stand up on your feet and offer God a worship with the fruit of your lips from the bottom of your heart. Come on and lift up your voices. Lift up your song to him. We may not sing your favorite song this morning, but hopefully you came with one on your mouth in the doors. Hallelujah.
Sunny in the rock, water in the stone, meadow on the ground, no matter where I go, I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you got.
It's honey in the rock.
The Bible says in John 1, we receive grace upon grace upon grace. It's the picture of the waves touching the beach, and another wave, and another wave. His grace is on repeat.
Every time I come running, I find grace on repeat. You welcome me with open arms, no matter where I've been. Every time I surrender, every time I fall, I find grace more precious than I did before. So I'm running the world down here at your feet. Look to the heavens for all I need. I'm gonna sing my heart out, praise on repeat to the God who's never given up on me. You're the mercy within, you're the kindness of dawn, over every waking, and the strength I lean on. Every time it comes the sundown and the night sets in, let my soul remember just how good you've been. And again and again my heart will say, so I'm gonna lay my world down here at your feet and look to the heavens for all I need. I'm gonna sing my heart praise on repeat to the God who's never given up on me. Cause you're the God who's never given up on me.
Upon grace, morning by morning, day after day will I sing. Praise upon praise, God be exalted over and over again.
Oh, grace,
grace, upon morning by morning, day after day will I sing.
Oh, praise,
praise upon praise, God be exalted over and over.
God be exalted.
In the service, we'd like to have our prayer partners come forward, and if you're in need of prayer this morning, we want to agree with you in Jesus' name. We want to stand with you and believe. Don't be shy. Come forward and let's pray. Amen.
As the Spirit was moving over the waters, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us, come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the waters, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us, come rest on us. Come, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me. Yeah.
Come on and help me out, y'all. Let's go.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us.
Fire and wind.
Fire and wind. Come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven open.
on earth. Put fire away and come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Calm down, calm down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart calm. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me. Calm down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart calm. When you fill the room, come rest on us.
want you to seal that with a hallelujah, with a thank you, Lord, for your presence. Come on, somebody shout unto the Lord. Hey.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Holy Spirit, come and rest upon us. That's what we pray. Holy Spirit, come and rest upon us. Come and touch us today. Come and fill us today. Amen. You know, I want to read this to you, this psalm. Often when I pray during the day, I like to read the psalms, and I like to read and worship the Lord by reading the psalms. I mean, David was called the apple of God's eye, that God delighted in David, and David was a worshiper. I mean, he wrote a whole book of psalms, of the songs of worship that he sang to the Lord, and there's some awesome ones here. In Psalm 35, David said, "Then I will praise you wherever I go. I will praise you wherever I go. And when everyone gathers for worship, I will lift up your praise with a shout in front of the largest crowd that I can find." David said, "I'm going to praise you, Lord, wherever I go." And when it's time to gather for worship, how many of you know that it's time? Sunday morning is the time that we gather to worship God. And David said, when it's time to gather for worship, "I'm going to lift up the greatest shout that I can, Lord. I'm going to praise you in front of the largest crowd that I can. I'm not shy. I'm not embarrassed. Lord, we love you. We worship you. We praise you. We come into this place, Lord, to lift up your praise, because you are worthy. You are mighty. You are holy. You are faithful." How many of you agree that God is worthy of our praise today? Come on, I said, how many agree that God is worthy to be praised? I'm going to lift up my loudest praise that I can. Can you say amen? I want to encourage you, know that, you know, often when we start out on Sunday, there's not everyone is here. Let me just put it that way. And I really want to encourage you that not to miss any of the worship or any of the praise, because this is so important. Let me tell you, the Bible says that God inhabits our praise. He dwells in our praise. He delights in our praise. I was reading another scripture. It says that God doesn't delight in our... The greatest sacrifice that God delights in is in the sacrifice of praise. I was reading that yesterday. So I want to encourage you to sing this final song out with us, to sing to the Lord this morning, to sing out with all you've got, to sing out with all that is within you, to lift your voice and to lift your hands and to give God worship this morning. Because let me tell you, when you worship Him, you'll experience the presence of the Lord. You'll feel God's presence come upon you, because God responds when we worship Him. He delights in our worship. So let's worship together. What do you say? Come on, let's sing out our final song, "Build My Life." I'm going to build my life on the Lord. I'm going to build my life on His Word. Amen. Come on, sing it with us.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing.
Yes, you are worthy, Lord.
Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
We live for you, Lord.
Jesus, the name above every other name.
Above every name.
Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in one.
is the name above every other.
Yeah, sing it out loud.
Jesus, the only one who could ever save. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you.
Tell him, Lord, I'm living for you. I'm living
to
worship you.
Holy, holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Oh, and I will build my life upon the solid rock on which I stand. Oh, on whom I can depend.
And I will build my life.
Sing it out.
Upon your love, it is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken, and I will build my life upon.
Church.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around.
Somebody give him praise in this place.
Hallelujah. He's holy and worthy to be praised. Father, we magnify your name in this place. Lord Jesus, you're seated at the right hand of God at the highest place of honor, the highest place of victory and honor. And we glorify your name today. Father, we're so thankful to gather as believers, to gather as your body, and just to honor you for who you are. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We magnify you in this place. We magnify you. Family, let's make sure there's a worship that comes from your heart. We magnify you. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for who you are and how you've revealed yourself to us. Thank you for meeting us at every point in our life. Thank you for your grace that's on repeat. Your mercies that are new every morning. We bless your name. Bless your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the way to come into the presence of God. Amen. Bible says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Sometimes we feel far off from the Lord. We feel far off from the presence of God. Just the door's open. Just come. Come with a heart of worship. Amen. Praise God. Well, good to see you this morning. Won't you just turn and greet someone? Say, welcome. Glad to see you. You may be seated. God, good morning, good morning. Welcome to those that are watching online today. We're so glad you've joined us. Welcome to Ascend Church. We're thankful for those that are part of our online church audience. We're so glad that you participating with us. We pray that you just receive everything you need from the Lord. Get yourself comfortable. Get your distractions out the way. And let's focus on the things of God this morning. Amen. Awesome, awesome. Well, welcome. You look good today. Looks like you took a minute this morning, right? I love being in the house of God. I really do. The Bible says that, you know, no matter what comes against us, I was reading the book of Colossians and Paul's writing, Paul and Timothy writing to the church, and his letter was to encourage them, and he said, just always fix your eyes on heavenly things. Fix your eyes. This is what we do when we come into the house of God. We're fixing our eyes on heavenly things because all week long, earthly things are pulling our attention, right? And so we're fixing our eyes on heavenly things today. And I pray you get whatever it is that you need in your life today from the Lord. Amen. And so welcome to each and every one of you. I want to welcome if we have anyone that's visiting for the first time. Do you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? Anyone that's visiting for the first time? No, we don't. We had numerous visitors 2 weeks ago, but we don't have anyone today. But for those that are watching online, if you've never watched before, welcome. There's various ways that people watch. They watch on Facebook Live. If you're watching on there, let us know where you're watching from. It's amazing how people can watch from all over the world. But let us know where you're watching from. Comment on the service. If there's anything you need prayer for, let us know. People watch on Ascend Church Jupiter on our YouTube channel. If you're watching there, let us know. Also, share the live stream. It's a way to reach other people. So we're glad that you're joining us. And we pass a clipboard by in the service. We ask if you just update it, just let us know that you're here. It's a real help, pastoral help to us. We're so glad that you're doing that. I want to remind you of our four main purposes of our church. They don't change. They go through the youth. They go through the children's ministry. The first one is that we would know God. Second of all is that we would find freedom. Thirdly, that we discover our purpose. And lastly, that we would make a difference with our lives. Amen. Amen. And I am Pastor Steve. We are ready for a good message. I get a little preview in the week. I'm not one for movie previews, but I like sermon previews. Gives me an idea, so thank you.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Well, I'm not sure how many of you have heard what's happening at the Asbury Seminary in Kentucky, I believe it is. Has anyone heard about what's going on there? Not many people? Well, there's a revival going on there that broke out in the university in one of their chapel services. A revival broke out, and what happened is they started having services every night, and people started coming from all over the country and lining up around. I mean, there's a line to get in, and it's all these students, and they're worshiping and they're praying and God is moving, and it's been going night after night after night after night, like every night, right? And so It's in the daytime. It goes in the daytime, but I think the big crowd is in the evening. They canceled the classes, and so the kids could go. And so anyway, there's like a revival going on. I mean, if you guys are on Facebook or any social media, I can't believe you haven't seen it, because you're obviously friends with the wrong people, because it's all over my Facebook, everywhere I look. And it was even on the news. I saw it on the news. And so anyway, just some context. I thought this is interesting. I find it very interesting because Asbury University is named after Methodist leader Francis Asbury, who lived from 1745 to 1816. He was only 26 years old when he came to evangelize the American colonies. He became a leader of the Second Great Awakening. It's estimated that he traveled 270,000 miles on horseback, preaching and planting Methodist churches. But his life was marked by white hot spiritual fervor. After being sent out to our shores by John Wesley, Asbury said, "We must reach every section of America, especially the raw frontiers. We must not be afraid of men, devils, wild animals, or disease. Our motto must always be forward." Like a modern Joshua, Asbury possessed the land in spite of his frequent ailments. He never married, perhaps because he knew his sacrificial lifestyle would be difficult for a wife. He was so loved by his Christian brethren that more than 20,000 people followed his coffin when he was buried in Virginia after his death at the age 70. And so Asbury University is named after this giant of faith. And I think it's fitting that the revival that erupted last week on the campus reminds us of Francis Asbury. I just think that's, I pray that revival spreads to every university across America and every high school across America. That's what I pray. I pray that revival spreads to every school, every college across the United States in the name of Jesus, his students getting on fire for the Lord. Like what happened back in the Jesus Revolution. There's a new movie out. I haven't seen it yet, but I really want to see it. It's called The Jesus Revolution. Has anyone seen The Jesus Revolution? Is it out yet? It's not out yet. Well, when it comes out, you want to go see it, because it's kind of the story of the founder of Calvary Chapel, Chuck Smith. And it tells a story and how the revival broke out amongst the young people in California. I think it was like in the 60s or early 70s. So I really believe that we are on the brink, and I really believe God is moving in our nation. And it's so exciting to see God moving in a university like that. And as I say, I pray that we see that happen all over America. Amen. Are you ready for God's word this morning? I said, are you ready for God's word this morning? Because I am ready. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you that you are so good. And we thank you for your mercy to us, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your word today. And as we come to study your word, Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you bring revelation to our minds. I pray, Lord, that you will bring revelation to every person's mind. I pray that you will speak to our heart by your word today. I pray, Lord, that we will not just be hearers of your word, but that every one of us will be doers of your word. And I just thank you, Father, for bringing financial increase and blessing to every person who receives this today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, today I want to speak to you about money with a mission. I want you to remember and to contemplate that phrase. Say, money with a mission. Because if you truly get hooked up with money's mission according to the word of God, you will prosper and you will succeed in life, and God's word, God's work will prosper and advance as well. Because God has called every one of us to be money missionaries. Say, I'm a money missionary. Now, if you don't know what that means, you're going to know by the end of today. But I really believe that every one of God's children should be handling money for him, on his behalf in this earth, doing what he tells us to do, when he tells us to do it, how he tells us to do it. It's called stewardship. When you think about the parable Jesus told of the talents, remember he told about a master who called his servants together. He was going on a journey, and he gave one 5 talents and one 2 talents and one talent in Matthew 25. And a talent is a measurement of gold or silver. It's talking about he gave them money. And then he went on a long journey, and he came back after a long time, and he called them together, and they had to give an account for what they'd done, how they'd managed what the master had given them. And the one who'd been given 5 talents, he traded with his talents, he'd invested them, and he gained 5 more. And the master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." And then the one had been given 2 talents, same thing, he'd invested it, he traded, he'd made 2 more talents, he doubled it, and the master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." And the one who'd only been given 1 talent, he didn't do anything with his talent, he didn't invest it, he didn't use it, he didn't increase it, and the master said, "You wicked, lazy servant, cast him into outer darkness." Now, let me tell you, that's a sobering scripture, because we use that scripture to think about when we stand before the Lord, and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." That's how we relate that scripture, but it's actually talking about money that we've been entrusted and what we did with it. Think about that. And why are we called to be money missionaries? Because we are called to bring the kingdom of God into manifestation in this world. We are to use our money in exchange for souls. See, our theme for this year is what? On a mission. Say, "I'm on a mission." Say, "We're on a mission." What's the mission we're on? We're on a mission to fulfill the Great Commission, which is to go into... What's the Great Commission? Jesus said in Matthew 28, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and then teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you, and you can be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." So Jesus gave us the mission. Our mission is to make disciples. Say, "I'm on a mission to make disciples." Say, "I'm a disciple maker. I'm a soul winner." That's the mission that God has given us. And it's the greatest mission in the whole world. And let me tell you, it's going to take money to fulfill this mission God has given us. Because it takes money to build churches. It took money for us to get in this building. It takes money to send out missionaries. It takes money to spread the gospel. It takes money to build Bible colleges. It takes money to put the Word of God on television and take it around the world. It takes money to do that. And someone said, "But Pastor Steve, the gospel's free." Yes, so is water. But it takes money to get the water to your house. It takes money to install the plumbing. And it takes money to take the gospel to the world. To fulfill this mission takes money. And where's it going to come from? God's people. That's the biggest reason why we must prosper. God wants us to prosper so that we can fulfill the Great Commission. Say that. Say, "God wants me to prosper so I can fulfill the Great Commission." Now listen to Psalm 35, verse 27. It says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." Now let's just think about that verse for a moment. Because it says, "Let them shout for joy and let them be glad." Who? The ones who favor my righteous cause. Let them say that the Lord takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. In other words, what that is saying is that God takes pleasure in prospering those who favor his righteous cause. Are you still with me? So if you want that to apply to you, well, "Pastor Steve, does God take delight in prospering me?" Yes, but when you favor his righteous cause. What is God's righteous cause? What is his righteous cause? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says, He wants not only us, but He wants everyone to be saved. That's His righteous cause. He says He wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to get to know the truth we've learned, that there's only one God and there's only one mediator between God and us, and that is Jesus, who offered Himself in exchange for everyone held captive by sin to set them free. That is God's righteous cause. He wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to come to the knowledge that Jesus is the only way of salvation. That's His righteous cause. Can you say amen, somebody? God's righteous cause is the salvation of humanity. And when you favor His righteous cause, and the word favor means to support, it means to assist. When you support and you assist in God's righteous cause, then God will take pleasure in prospering you. Say amen, somebody. The Bible warns a lot about wanting money for selfish reasons. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 in verse 9, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, people who long to be rich soon begin to do all kinds of wrong things to get money, things that hurt them and make them evil-minded and finally send them to hell itself. For the love of money is the first step toward all kinds of sin. Some people have even turned away from God because of their love for it, and as a result, they've pierced themselves with many sorrows. Now, that's a powerful scripture, is it not? Let me read the Message translation of that same scripture. It says, if it's only money that these leaders are after, they'll self-destruct in no time. Lust for money brings trouble and nothing but trouble. Going down that path, some people lose their footing in the faith completely, and they live to regret it bitterly after. Listen to the Passion Translation. But those who crave the wealth of this world slip into spiritual snares. They become trapped by the troubles that come through their foolish and harmful desires, driven by greed and drowning in their own sinful pleasures. Loving money is the first step toward all kinds of trouble. Some people run after it so much that they've given up the faith. Craving more money pushes them away from the faith into error, compounding misery in their lives. Now, listen, if you read verse 11, Paul says, Timothy, you, man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience. Now, Paul's talking about people who pursue money for the wrong motives. People who are driven by greed. They have a lust for money. It's for selfish reasons. Paul says, rather pursue righteousness. That sounds a lot like Psalm 35. Those who favor my righteous cause. You see, God wants us to love Him, not to love money. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, don't be obsessed with money. Be content with what you have. The Message Bible says, don't be obsessed with getting more material things. The New Living Bible says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. And the New International Version says, keep your lives free from the love of money. I want you to see here the issue. The issue is not that God doesn't have a problem with you having money. Here's where God has a problem: when money has you. God wants us to love Him and not to love money. And can I tell you something? You cannot love God and money at the same time. You've got to make a choice. Jesus said that in Matthew 6, verse 24. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. You will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. God wants us to love Him. Now, money is not evil. The Bible says it's the love of money that is the root of evil. Think about all the things that go on in the world, and it all comes down to one thing, a love for money. Think about crimes that are committed and things that people do. It all comes down to a love of money. You cannot love God and love money. God wants us to love Him, and He wants us to put Him first. And when your motives are right about money, when you've got a heart for souls, and you want to see the kingdom of God advance, and you yield yourself to the Lord as a money missionary, then God knows He can trust you. He knows you'll stay focused on money's main purpose, and God will see to it that more money gets into your hands, because He knows you will use it for His purposes, for the highest purpose, which is to help to spread the gospel and build the kingdom of God. Amen, somebody. The apostle went on to say to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, if you carry on reading, verse 17, he said, tell those who are rich not to be proud, nor to trust in their money, which will soon be gone, but their pride and trust should be in the living God, who always richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Notice that. God gives us everything we need for our enjoyment. God doesn't have a problem with you having money and having nice things. He just wants to know that your heart is right, your priorities are right, and that He is first in your life. It says in verse 18, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works. They should give happily to those in need, always being ready to share with others what God has given them. But doing this, they will be storing up real treasure for themselves in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity. And they will be living a fruitful life down here as well. You see, when you get your motives right, and you put God first, and you favor His cause, and you want to prosper so you can help build the kingdom of God, God, let me tell you that you not only are you investing in eternity, but God will bless you down in this life, in this earth as well. If you read the Passion Translation, it says, remind the wealthy to be remarkable, to be rich in remarkable works of extravagant generosity, willing to share with others. These spiritual investments will provide a beautiful foundation for their lives and secure them a great future as they lay their hands upon the meaning of true life. Now, as I said, God doesn't have a problem with you being wealthy. He just doesn't want you to be greedy. And can I tell you, your giving is the only proof that you've conquered greed. Your giving is the only proof that greed does not control you. That's why every scripture where God promises to prosper you, there is always this prerequisite. There is always a condition. See, Malachi says, in the book of Malachi, it says, if we will tithe, then God will open the windows of heaven and pour blessing upon us. In Deuteronomy, it says that blessings will overtake us because we obey the voice of the Lord our God. In Job 36:11, it says, if you obey and serve Him, then you will spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. Notice that it's always a condition. If you will do this, if you will follow God, if you will obey God, then this will happen. Jesus Himself, in Luke 6:38, He said, give generously, and generous gifts will be given back to you. Shaken down to make room for more, abundant gifts will pour upon you with such overflowing measure that it will run over the top. Your measurement of generosity becomes the measurement of your return. In other words, what you give determines what God gives back to you. Amen? You give, and then it will be given to you. See, God wants us to put Him first in every way, including our money. He wants us to use our money for His purpose. He doesn't want us to be worried about money, or He doesn't want us to be seeking after things. He said if we will put His kingdom first, then those things will come seeking after us. He will give us everything we need. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 6:25. He says, therefore I say to you, don't worry about your life. What are you going to eat? Or what are you going to drink? Or know about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, do you see this? Jesus says, listen, you don't have to worry about your everyday material needs. You don't know what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, where you're going to live, what you're going to wear, how you're going to pay your bills. You don't have to worry about it. If you will put God first and put his kingdom first, all those things will be added unto you. You don't have to go after them. They'll come after you. That's the kingdom principle. God wants you to have things. He just doesn't want you to put those things before him. What happens when we get our priorities wrong and we put ourselves before God? In Haggai, we see what happened in Haggai chapter 1. It says the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. He said, why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. Look at what is happening to you. You've planted much, but you harvest little. You eat, but you're not satisfied. You drink, but you're still thirsty. You put on clothes, but you can't keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. This is what the Lord of heaven's army says. Look at what is happening to you. Now go up to the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it, and I will be honored, says the Lord. You hoped for rich harvest, but they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of heaven's armies, while you're all busy building your own fine houses. In other words, you're busy building your house and you don't care about my house. That's why you're struggling. It is because of you that the heavens withhold the dew and the earth produces no crops. I have called for a drought on your fields and your hills, a drought to wither the grain and the grapes and the olive trees and all your other crops, a drought to starve you and your livestock, to ruin everything that you've worked so hard to get. Now, many people are more concerned about their house than they are about God's house. When we say, when they come to church and we say what the Word of God says and we teach what the Word of God says, they let it go in this ear and right out that ear. And then the next morning, 8 a.m., they're up there working hard, trying to build their house. Let me tell you, you can work five jobs. You can work five jobs and struggle. It's like putting your money in pockets that got holes in it. But because why? Because we're not, our priorities are wrong. Now, what did they do? Look what happened in the next verse, verse 12. Then, how do you say it? Zerubbabel, the son of Sealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Zecodec, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, they obeyed the voice of the Lord. They received God's word and they repented and they obeyed God's, what God was telling them. What happened? The next chapter, Haggai chapter 2, look what happened. This is what the Lord of heaven's army says. In just a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and shake the earth, the oceans, the dry land. I'm going to shake all the nations, and the treasure of all the nations will be brought to this temple. The treasure of all the nations will be brought to this temple. I will fill this place, this temple, with glory, says the Lord. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, says the Lord of heaven's armies. The future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And in this place, I'm going to bring peace. I, the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken. So because they turned around when God spoke to them, God said, you're struggling because you're building your own house, but my house lies in ruins. They obeyed, and they begin to build God's house. And all of a sudden, God said, man, I'm going to fill this temple with my glory. I'm going to pour out my spirit, and the treasure of all the earth is going to come in here because the gold is mine, the silver is. In other words, there was prosperity that was released into their life when they got their priorities in the right order. Amen, somebody. Let me tell you, if you truly get hooked up with money's mission, according to the Word of God, you will prosper, you will succeed and God's work will prosper and succeed because God's called every one of his children to be a money missionary, to allow our money to be used for his mission. Every single one of God's children should be handling money on his behalf in the earth, doing what he tells them to do, when he tells them to do it, how he tells them to do it. So, Lord, whatever you tell me, I'll do what you tell me. You see, the money that you have is money that has been given to you to carry out the mission, God's mission on the earth, which is that all people might come to know the saving knowledge of Jesus. And when your priorities are right about money, and when you've got a heart for souls, the advancement of God's kingdom, you yield yourself to God as a money missionary, God knows he can trust you. He knows you're going to stay focused on money's main mission. And his desire will be to make sure that more money gets into your hands because he knows you will do what he wants you to do with it. Now, maybe you say, Pastor Steve, this idea of yielding my money to God and being a money missionary, that's not very exciting to me, but it should be exciting to you. You know why? Because it's the key to you never having another money problem in your life ever again. Never, ever having another money problem in your life again is when you become a money missionary and when you realize that God has given me money for a mission and I'm going to do what he tells me. I'm going to put him first. Let me tell you, God's looking for people like that because he wants to prosper them. He wants to increase them because he knows they're going to help to put his kingdom first. Can you say amen, somebody? If you will receive God's call today, if you will receive the call of God and respond to the word of God today and forget about houses and cars and material things, if you put God in his kingdom first, God will bless you with material things. In fact, you'll have so many clothes you can't wear them all, but God wants us to have our priorities in straight and to keep him first. We have not been put on this earth to put up a permanent dwelling place. We're not to get caught up in the mundane, everyday affairs of life. Because let me tell you, you're going to be leaving here and not very long from now. It won't be long, you'll be leaving here. So while you're on the earth, you want to finish the assignment God has given you, not purely for your own pleasure and your own comfort. No, our mission is to finish what Jesus started when he came to the earth. He came to the earth to save and redeem mankind. He purchased us with his very own blood. He legally brought us back to God. He has broken down the wall that separated us from our Creator. And God isn't holding people's sins against them. He's given us the mission of reconciling people to him. He's given us the mission of declaring this good news. And yes, we are to do this one-on-one, witnessing in our neighborhoods, in our communities, letting our light shine. But let me tell you, God wants us to take the gospel into all the world, and it's going to take money to fund the spreading of the gospel around the world. So being a money missionary, it means you are using your money and you are giving out your money to further the kingdom of God. You get excited when you get some money in your hand because that means you can pass out some more money. Money has lost its hold on you. You're a money missionary for the kingdom of God. The greatest purpose of money is to reach people for the kingdom of God. Can you say amen, somebody? If you don't get this today, what I'm telling you is the greatest secret to see increase come in your life. In Luke chapter 16, verse 1, Jesus told an amazing parable. He taught the disciples using this story. He said, once a very rich man hired a manager, or most translations say a steward. A steward is a manager. He hired a manager, to run his business and oversee all of his wealth. But soon a rumor spread the manager was wasting his master's money. Notice, he was wasting his master's money. See, if we do not understand the call that God has put on our life in the area of financial management, we will waste the Lord's money. And when you waste what God gives you, he can't afford to give you much more because he knows you haven't grown enough yet to know how to handle it properly. Verse 2 says, so the master called him in and he said, is it true that you've been mismanaging my estate? You need to provide me with a complete audit of everything you oversee for me. I've decided to dismiss you. And if you read that from the New King James, it says, give an account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be a steward. Do you know there's some believers that used to be stewards? They used to be money missionaries, but they're not anymore because, you know, they've irresponsibly handled what God has given them. But they can come back. God is waiting for them to repent, change their relationship with money before he can take them further in this area of stewardship. You may be wondering, Pastor Steve, I don't understand. What's the problem, man? I love God. I'm praying. I'm not living in sin. Why didn't I get my financial breakthrough? Your financial breakthrough is waiting on the other side of your stewardship. I said your financial breakthrough is waiting on the other side of your financial stewardship. In verse 3, the manager thought, what am I going to do now? I'm finished. I can't hide what I've done. I'm too proud to beg. I have an idea that will secure my future. It will win me favor and secure me friends who can take care of me and help me when I get fired. So the dishonest steward or manager, he hatched his scheme. He went to everyone who owed his master money, one by one, and he asked them, how much do you owe my master? One debtor owed $20,000. He said, let me see your bill. Pay me now, and we'll settle for 20% less. The clever manager scratched out the original amount owed and reduced it by 20%. And then another creditor who owned $200,000, he said, pay me now, and we'll reduce your debt by 50%. And the clever manager scratched out the original amount that he owed and reduced it by half. Even though his master was defrauded, when he found out about the shrewd way this manager had feathered his own nest, he congratulated the clever scoundrel for what he had done to provide for his future. Jesus said, remember this, the sons of darkness interact more wisely than the sons of light. Now, I read all of that to get to this verse. Notice this verse. Use the wealth of this world to demonstrate your friendship with God by winning friends and blessing others. Then, when it runs out, your generosity will provide you with an eternal reward. The Amplified Bible says it like this. I tell you, learn from this. Make friends for yourselves for eternity by means of the wealth of unrighteousness. That is, use material sources as a way to further the work of God, so that when it runs out, they will welcome you into eternal dwellings. Now, let me tell you, many Christians have gotten sidetracked by other things, and they've lost sight of the primary purpose for money. The primary purpose of money is to see to it that no one goes to hell because we held back a dollar. Are you wasting any money? Are you using your money just trying to get what you want in life? Because let me tell you, God will make sure that you get what you want. He will fulfill. He will grant you the desires of your heart. But only if you will give him what he wants. You've got to let God tell you what he wants you to do as a money missionary. And some people say, well, Pastor Steve, I don't have a lot of money right now. How can I be a money missionary? I love the fact we saw The Chosen, the part number 8 of season 3. If you haven't seen The Chosen, you've got to watch it. Part 8 was amazing. And it's the part where Jesus takes the little boy's lunch, and 5 loaves and 2 fish. Is that right? And he feeds more than 5,000 men. And the food just keeps multiplying, until they eventually gathered up 12 large baskets of leftovers. That little boy was a money missionary. Don't sit here and say, well, Pastor Steve, this can't be for me. I don't have a lot. If you will be faithful in what God has given you, God will keep on increasing you. It's not a matter of how much you have. It's how you yield to God. That's what matters. How much are you yielded to the will of God? Because you're yielding to God's will and God's way will change the amount that you have. If you go back to Luke chapter 16, look what Jesus said in verse number 10. He said, the one who faithfully manages the little that he has been given will be promoted and trusted with greater responsibilities. But those who cheat with the little they have will not be considered trustworthy to receive more. If you have not been, if you have not handled the riches of this world with integrity, why should you be trusted with the eternal treasures of the spiritual world? In other words, what you do with your money is going to determine what God, is going to determine how God rewards you in eternity. And if you've not proven yourself faithful with what belongs to another, why should you be given wealth of your own? It is impossible for a person to serve two masters at the same time. You will be forced to love one, reject the other. One will be despised. And I don't think that scripture goes in there. Does it go in there? It does it go? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. It says, one master will be despised, the other will have your loyal devotion. Your choice between God and the wealth of this world is no different. You must enthusiastically love one and definitively reject the other. We got a choice. Are we going to love God or are we going to love money? Maybe you've been looking for an answer to your financial dilemma. Lord, why is this not working out for me? I'm doing all that I can. Here's your answer. Use your money in exchange for souls. I believe that we are on the verge of the biggest money explosion in history. We are on the verge of a great wealth transference. The world's wealth needs to get into the hands of the Christians so that we can fulfill God's purpose in this earth. And in Proverbs 13:22, it says, the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. In Ecclesiastes 2:26, it says, God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting that he may give it to him who is good before God. The New Living Translation says, if a sinner becomes wealthy, God takes the wealth away and gives it to those who please him. I really believe we are going to see a supernatural wealth transfer before Jesus comes back in these last days, where the wealth of the sinner is going to be transferred into the hands of righteous people. God's looking for people that he can trust. He's looking for people that will keep him first. He's looking for people that will not be greedy, that will not put money above him, but will do what he tells them to do with that money. Say amen, somebody. This is talking about a supernatural wealth transfer. I believe being a money missionary is the key to tapping into that kind of a wealth. So pay attention to your stewardship. Some people think they're doing good, but they're not doing what they could be doing or should be doing. Some people think that if they tithe, then they are faithful stewards. Tithing does prove our faithfulness to God, but it's not all there is to being a faithful steward. See, a faithful steward understands that everything I have belongs to God. David understood that. When David was giving of his own personal wealth to build the temple for God, in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, he said, because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I am giving all of my own private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction. This is in addition to the building materials I've already collected for the holy temple. I'm donating more than 112 tons of gold and 262 tons of refined silver to be used for the temple. David donated 112 tons of gold from his private collection. And then in verse 10, it says, while still in the presence of the whole assembly, David expressed his praises to the Lord. And he said, O Lord God of our father Israel, praise your name forever and ever. Yours is the mighty power and glory and victory and majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours. He said, Lord, this is your kingdom. We adore you as being in control of everything. Riches and honor come from you alone. And you are the ruler of all mankind. Your hand controls power and might. And it is at your discretion that men are made great and given strength. Lord, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. Who am I and who are my people that we should be permitted to give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you. And we only give you what is yours already. Notice Dave's attitude. He's given 112 tons of gold. And he says, Lord, I'm only giving you what you, it belongs to you anyway. It's what you gave me. He went on, he said, for we are here for a moment, strangers in the land as our fathers were before us. Our days on earth are like a shadow, gone so soon, without a trace. O Lord, our God, of all this material that we have gathered, to build the temple for your holy name comes from you. It all belongs to you. And I know, my God, that you test men to see if they are good. You enjoy good men. I've done all this with good motives, and I've watched your people offer their gifts willingly and joyously. See, God tests you. I said, God tests you. Because if he can't trust you with $10,000, how could he ever trust you with $10 million? No wonder the Bible says about David in Acts 13, verse 22, God said, God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I tell him to do. That's what God's looking for. Someone who will do what God tells them to do. A good steward recognizes that everything that they have belongs to God. And they let God guide them in their giving. You are called. Say, I'm called to be a money missionary. Now, you may have other gifts, other talents, and other callings. But no matter what else you're called to do, you are also, every believer is called to be a good steward for the Lord. And to yield our money to God so that he can use it for souls. That's the only reason we're still on this earth, is to get souls into the kingdom and disciple. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, it says he really isn't being slow about his promised return. Though it sometimes seems that way. But he is waiting for the good reason that he is not willing that any should perish. He is giving more time for sinners to repent. Do you know what? You know what God's waiting for? He's waiting for people to repent. He's giving people more time. That's why he's waiting. Let me tell you, people are at the heart of money's mission, not material things. Certainly, God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have good things. He wants you to enjoy your life. But he left us here as ambassadors for Jesus. He wants us to seek his kingdom first. If you want God to prosper you, all you got to do is follow orders from your Father. Be a good steward and give so as he leads you to. And he will multiply. Whatever God tells you to give, he's going to multiply back to you. He's our source. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. You getting anything out of this? Well, just hang in there. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, it says, remember this, if you give little, you will get little. A farmer who plants just a few seeds will only get a small crop. But if he plants much, he will reap much. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God is able to make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more, so that there will be not only enough for your needs, but plenty left over to give to others. It is as the scripture says, the godly man gives generously. The godly man gives generously. It says, to the poor, his deeds will be an honor to him forever. For God, who gives seed to the farmer to plant and later on good crops to harvest and eat, he will give you more and more seed to plant, and he will make it grow so that you can give away more and more fruit from your harvest. Yes, God will give you so much that you can give away much. That's God's desire for you. Amen. Skip the Passion Translation for me, Miguel. When you're a money missionary, God is your source. Your job is not your source. When you're a money missionary, you walk in another realm. You don't look to the beggarly elements of this world system trying to bring in finances. You walk in a higher dimension, a different world of finances. There's a world of the divine. Your divine Father entrusts to you a divine stewardship. He gives you divine orders for divine production, for divine increase to come into your life. God provides for you because you are his steward. Jesus said in Luke 12:42, the Lord said, who is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? You see, when you become a money missionary and a steward, and you start doing when listening to what God wants you to do, God is the one who provides for you. He is your source. You need to stop working in your own strength alone and start obeying and believing and let God supernaturally provide. God supernaturally will multiply to you. You may say, well, Pastor Steve, I am obedient. I'm a tither. Well, tithing is the starting place of obedience. Like I said, you can't be obedient to God and a good steward without tithing, but it's a prerequisite. But you really can't even begin giving until you first tithing. But the tithe, understand, tithing is not something you give to God, really. It's something you owe. It already belongs to God. That's what Leviticus 27, it says, all of the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, the fruit of the tree, it's the Lord's. It already belongs to God. It's holy to God. Some people think that by tithing, they're being good stewards. But you aren't a good steward until you start giving, and giving starts beyond the tithe. You see, tithing is returning to God what is His, but giving is when you start giving out of the 90% of what is yours. That's really when you start giving. And stewardship, it's simple, man. As a money missionary, as a steward of God's money, my assignment is to pass out money on behalf of God. And the more I pass out, the more He's going to give back to me. The more I pass out, the more He's going to give back to me. All you got to do is be willing and obedient and be led by the Holy Spirit. That's all you got to do. God, man, He wants you to live a supernatural, extraordinary life. He wants us to make our money available to Him. He wants to work miracles in your life. He wants houses and cars to show up with your name on them, just miraculous things to happen. Amen. Say this, say, from this day forward, all the money I have and all the money I receive, I'm going to use it in exchange for souls. Say, I receive my calling as a money missionary to build the kingdom of God. You see, what are the conditions for prosperity? It's accepting the call of God to be a money missionary, to use that money for its assignment instead of just hoarding it for you and your family. No, I'm going to do what God is guiding and telling me to do. Because let me tell you, you have got millionaire status on the inside of you. But it is a millionaire status for the kingdom of God with a kingdom purpose, where the mission is understood and acted upon. Then that millionaire status is released in your life. You'll become a money magnet, man. Money will just become an attract to you. Blessings will just start overtaking you. Doors will just begin to open for you. But it's money with a mission. You become a channel through which money can flow and fulfill its excitement. And God begins to use you as a channel where all of your needs are met. God takes care of your desires. He blesses you. But man, you become a channel through which the kingdom of God is built. I'm going to close this morning. I'm going to close this out with Deuteronomy chapter 8. It says in verse 2, you shall remember the Lord your God. He led you all through these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. That's how God tests you. Verse 6, therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, walk in His ways and fear Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley, of figs, vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land in whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten, when you are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which is given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, His statutes, as I command you today. When you have eaten, when you are full, and you have built beautiful houses, and you dwell in these beautiful houses, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, and when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the land of bondage, then you say in your heart, it is my power and is the might of my hand that gained me this wealth. But you shall remember that it is the Lord your God. It is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant for which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Can you say amen? You see, this connects remembering the Lord and being blessed as a result of it. God cannot establish His covenant of prosperity in the life of a believer who's not remembering God and not remembering God's word. Throughout the word of God, it stresses obedience as a requirement for walking in God's blessing. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If you'll only obey me and let me help you, I'll make you rich. Let me tell you, to enjoy the good of the land, you got to be obedient to God and His Word. You got to be willing and obedient to put God's business before your own. You've got to put first His vision of preaching the gospel and harvesting souls around the world. Then you will enjoy the good of the land. You will enjoy the best. You'll enjoy the best life that you can imagine. When God knows you're remembering Him and you're putting Him first and He can trust you, then blessings begin to overflow in your life. Because God doesn't just bless you with millions overnight. He gives you smaller blessings first. He sees how you're going to act. And when you get money, if the first thing you think of is the Lord and His kingdom, you know you're on the right track. You know you're getting there. If you won the lottery tomorrow, what's the first thing you think about? Oh, I'm going to go buy me that house on the island. I'm going to go buy me that house on the beach. I'm going to go buy me that. The first thing is, I'm going to be able to tithe this money into the kingdom of God and build the kingdom. That's the first thing should be on our mind. Can you say amen, somebody? To remember the Lord with your money is to remember His mission with your money. There's billions of lost people. They haven't heard the gospel yet. God's called us to take this gospel message of salvation through Jesus into the entire world. And it takes money to do that. A lot of Christians are not experiencing God's blessing because they're more concerned about their own mission and they're under-concerned about God's mission. They're over-concerned about their own mission and they're under-concerned about God's mission. If you will hear this today, if you will heed it, let me tell you, God will bless you supernaturally. You will get more and sweat less. You were not created to work 2, 3, 4 jobs, going from sun up to sundown, just trying to make it financially. When you yield your money to God and you become a money missionary, you want to expect to prosper, expect to increase, expect to get out of debt, expect blessings to come chasing after you, expect doors to supernaturally. Money will not be a problem for you when you stop putting yourself first and you begin putting God and His work first and you don't let anything distract you from the kingdom of God or from His mission. Let me tell you, when you use your money for God's mission, God will bring you into a wealthy place. Say this as I close. Say, I'm headed to a wealthy place because I'm using my wealth for God's mission. I'm fulfilling my part of the covenant. I'll never be broke another day in my life. In fact, I'm going to prosper all the days of my life in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Do you receive this today? Do you receive this today? Do you receive this, Tom? Praise God. Say, money with a mission. Tell your neighbor, money with a mission. I got a mission for my money. Amen. I'm telling you this. I don't know, for me, you know, I'm going to be 59 in March. 1 year I'll be 60. For me, I'm thinking about eternity. Now, I know I've still got a lot of years to live, but I realize how fast time goes. When you're 25, 30 years old, you don't think about how, you don't realize how fast time goes. Time goes. I want my life to count. And I realize none of this, I ain't taking this jacket with me. I ain't taking these shoes with me. I ain't taking none of this stuff's going with me. So why would I invest my life in the things, material things? I want to invest my life. I want to lay up eternal rewards. I want my life to count. Now, when you do that, God will bless you in this life. But the blessings in the life beyond cannot even compare. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank You today. We thank You, Lord, that it is Your will that we prosper, that we be in health, even as our soul does prosper. It is Your will, Father. You said if we're willing and obedient, we will eat the good of the land. You want us, Lord, to live a good life. You want us to be blessed, but You want us to put You first. And Father, today, we receive Your word today. Say, Lord, I receive Your word today. And Lord, we commit that You are first in our life. You are first, Lord. We want to be good stewards. We want to be money missionaries. We're gonna do whatever you tell us to do. We're gonna give whenever you tell us to give. We're gonna sow whenever you tell us to sow. Tithing, Lord, that's a given. The first tenth of every dollar we get belongs to you. But Lord, all of our money, we realize that everything we have comes from you. And Lord, we yield everything we are and everything we have for your purposes, for your kingdom, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Are you ready to give to this morning? Because I think if you should be ready right now. You should be stirred up right now to give this morning. Amen. I'm believing God. I'm telling you, God's raising up people in this church. God's raising up millionaires. God's raising up multimillionaires. Somebody is going to write out a check for $3 million to Ascend Church to pay off this building completely. Somebody is going to write out a $3 million check. It could be you. Who knows? But let me tell you, if you'll just make yourself available to do whatever God tells you to do, there is no telling to where the Lord will take you. Amen. Are you ready? If you're watching this online, I encourage you to be a part of this, to give as God leads you this morning. There's various ways to give at our church. If you're sitting in the service, we have envelopes in the seat back in front of you. You can use that envelope, give by cash, by check, even by card. You can use the envelope. You can give online at ascendchurch.us. You can give by text giving. A lot of people use the Cash App. What's the other one? Zelle. Zelle's a great one because we don't have any fees on that. What's the thing for Zelle, Jill? The church email. I don't know if it's not up there. I don't see it up there. So it's ascendchurch.us@gmail.com. That's what you use for Zelle as well. Are you ready to give this morning? All the generous money missionaries, shout it out. No, shout it out. Say, shout it out. Amen. Shout out amen. Amen. Shout out amen. 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 Father, we thank you today. We can never outgive you. Lord, you loved us so much, you sent your only Son, Jesus, greatest gift in all the world to redeem us. Lord, you are the generous one. And we thank you that as we give, Jesus, you said it will be given back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Thank you, Father, for the windows of heaven that are open above your people. I thank you, Lord, that you are pouring blessings upon your people. I thank you, Lord, for bringing increase. Thank you for bringing increase for every tither, for every giver. Thank you for supernaturally increasing them, opening doors for them, bringing promotion, bringing increase, blessing their business, bringing new clients. Just supernatural blessing coming upon them. They're canceling debt, Father, giving them favor in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your faithfulness. Lord, you are our source, and we thank you. We look to you. We thank you, Father, that you make us overflow with abundance. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, go right ahead, ushers. I believe everyone is ready. Could you just hand that to me, somebody? I just want to mention that if you have not yet been baptized in water, we want to have a water baptism. We've got a few people that have requested this. If you have not been baptized in water since you received the Lord, I'm not talking about when you were a baby. That doesn't really count. The Bible says repent and be baptized. If you've not been baptized, fill out this little baptism card. And as soon as we get enough people, we'll let you know. We want to do a baptism as soon as possible. And also, and please make sure you hand that card in. Fill it out and hand it in to one of the ushers when you leave. And if you haven't done the Christian Growth Seminar, if you have never attended the Christian Growth Seminar, I really encourage you, fill out this Grow card. We want to start another Christian Growth Seminar. It's a four-night Bible study class that is life-changing. If you've never done this class, sign up, use the green card, get that card back to us, and we'll let you know. As soon as we have enough people, we will let you know when we're starting that. But we'd like to start it as soon as possible. Youth are meeting tonight at 5 a.m. Ascend Youth are meeting at 5 p.m. Not 5 a.m., 5 p.m. And just to let you know that what has been happening at the Asbury University with this revival, they've been praying, they gather and they pray and they worship. We do that every Thursday night. Every Thursday night we're gathering to worship and pray and seek the Lord. We're believing and praying for God to have a revival across this entire nation, revival in this city, in this area. And I want to encourage you. Some people are flying all the way to Asbury. They're flying there to see what God's doing. Come here on Thursday night. You'll experience the presence of God for yourself. Join us on Thursdays. Every Thursday we pray at 7 p.m. The youth have a special outing. What, mini golf? Abel's away today. He's in Italy today. But it's going to be on Sunday, March 5th. That's the day after my birthday. Just thought I'd mention that. And it's going to be at the Lighthouse Cove Adventure Golf. Talk to Michelle. Is Michelle out here today? Michelle's not here today. Who do they speak to about it? Oh, she'll be here tonight. Oh, she'll be here tonight. All right, everybody. Praise the Lord. Stand up with me. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. Say, tell them now next week. Tell them next week. Please, will you invite someone to come to church with you? Please, will you bring someone to come to church with you next week? Amen. Father, we thank you today. We just thank you, Lord. We're so glad we know you. We're so glad that you've redeemed us. We're so glad that we are saved. We're part of your family. We're so thankful, Lord, that we don't have to worry about what we're going to eat. We don't have to worry about material things. We're so thankful, Lord, that you take care of us, that we can cast all of our worries on you, all of our anxieties on you. We're so thankful, Lord, as we put you first and as we seek your kingdom first, you provide us with everything we need. We thank you, Lord, that you're so good to us. We thank you, Lord, that you take care of us. And, Lord, we worship you and we praise you as we go home today. We just pray, Lord, this week that you will use us, that we will have opportunities to tell others about your goodness, to share the good news, the gospel, to tell them our testimony and invite people to church this week, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday. Bring someone with you, everybody. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time. Thank you for music. Thank you.